Hey, Prepper Recon fans, welcome to another edition of the PrepperRecon.com podcast. Our mission is to bring you great interviews with preppers from around the globe so you can be better informed and better prepared for everything from a hurricane to the end of the world as we know it. Today's guest is Josh from BeatTheEnd.com. Josh, welcome to the show. Thanks for taking time to be on today.
Thanks for having me, and nice to meet you, Mark.
Thank you. So tell us a little bit about BeatTheEnd.com.
Beat the End is basically not just the prepper site, it's a survival site as well. Basically anything for survival. It could be not just prepping for years to come, but it could be just like that movie 127 Hours. What you do in 5 minutes can matter.
Yeah, that's right. And being prepared, once it happens, it's too late to get prepared.
Right, definitely. So being prepared at the beginning is much better than hoping at the end.
Yeah. So you've got some tabs on beattheend.com. You've got beans, bullets, and Band-Aids. Tell us a little bit about beans.
Beans basically is that whole beans, bullets, and Band-Aids thing is kind of the prepper mantra I've seen a lot of places. The beans are your food, your food storage, your anything you grow. You could even have hunting and fishing in there as well. It's also your water supplies you have. Some other things. Shelter can kind of be put in there as well.
Yeah.
And then your bullets is not just your guns and your bullets, but it's also your security and self-defense and knowing how to prepare your home so it's not going to get overrun.
Yeah, hardening your home, yeah. A safe could be in that category.
Right. Yeah. A bunch of different things in there, even though it just sounds like guns. You have knives and everything else.
Yeah, I think a safe is a really good thing for a prepper to have, because we were talking before the interview, we were talking about Cyprus and about the people that never saw that coming. With the bank putting a claim on their deposits, and then the bank was closed for 2 weeks. They couldn't get anything out for 2 weeks. Then when they did finally open, I think they were allowed to get 300 euros a week out.
I believe that sounds right. And then they, from what I heard, over 100,000. If you had over 100,000, they were starting to take out money out of your account.
Yeah, so I heard some different numbers, but I heard some numbers like 40%.
Yes,
anything I heard over 100,000. I guess they were gonna do a much smaller amount, but they didn't, because they have something akin to our FDIC, which cuts off at 100,000 euros. And so if they would have taken that, then the people would have just made a claim against the insurance, so they would end up having to pay it back. So they took them out of the pool and just went for the guys with over 100. But they ended up getting a lot bigger haircut than what was initially planned.
And what's weird about that is insurance basically is for unexpected things. This isn't so unexpected when they come in and take your money. If I go and take something from my house and claim it on my insurance, they're not going to pay that. You're going to get in trouble for it.
Yeah.
So It's really just crazy. And then I guess some other things with the financial end of it, as we were talking before, that I think the biggest problem right now is a society collapsing because of financial turmoil.
Yeah.
And I think what I was looking at, as I was telling you earlier, that with a personal debt to income ratio, it used to be around 17-18% in the 40s. Now it's 130%, way more debt than we ever had. How are we ever going to pay that back? Just doesn't even seem plausible unless we cut back. And this isn't just for personal, this is for the government as well.
Mm-hmm. And the government teaches the citizens that that's okay, because that's the example that they set for the individual, because we just keep spending like there's no tomorrow, And it seems to be that there's not any consequences. So I think people think, why shouldn't I do the same thing?
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of problem with their financials.
Yeah.
But going next from there to Band-Aids, that's we went over beans, bullets, Band-Aids, or Band-Aids is this one. But it's basically your preps that would be your antibiotics, your gauze, your Band-Aids as well, antiseptics. And I know I kind of looked into a little bit fish antibiotics or – yeah, fish antibiotics, fish mock. That's actually pretty interesting. It looks like it's essentially the same thing that is made for human consumption, but they charge what 10 times less for it.
Well, you don't have to go pay somebody $85 to get them to write you a prescription for it,
right?
I'm not going to recommend to anybody that they take fish antibiotics, because I'm sure the FDA would be at my door tomorrow, just like they were, the government was at the houses of the people in Waterton, Massachusetts, looking for the Boston bomber. But in a Teotwaki or stuff hit the fan scenario, given the choice between gangrene in my foot or taking fish antibiotics, I'd probably pick the fish antibiotics. And they've got almost everything that you have available for humans. There's Cipro, there's amoxicillin, there's penicillin. Right. They have all the different ones that have all the different things. The caveat I think I would give to people is that if they were planning to do that while you still have electricity, while you still have the internet, download and print out a hard copy of the dosing instructions for that, right, so that you don't give yourself too much or not enough, and the bacteria becomes resistant to the antibiotic or whatever, and you know how much you're going to use. But it doesn't hurt to keep it some around for sure.
And people on different medications that can't get them. And that's not always easy to even get extra doses prescribed to you. I know every now and then you might be able to find a prepper-minded doctor that might be able to do that, might be willing to do that as a prep. Like, I know my dad has thyroid problems. And so not having his thyroid medicine, basically he's sleeping all day. And so that would be hard in that situation. So he's even at this point trying to find someone who will prescribe more, some couple months prescription of it.
Sure. Now, you said that you've got sort of a unique approach to being prepared to bug out if you ever have to go. And as opposed to the traditional bug out bag, you've already got everything in your truck?
Yeah. My truck, it's a 02 Chevy 2500. It's gas. Wish it was diesel, but it's not. And it has a basically a sleeping platform in that. I have actually some pictures and stuff on my site in one of my posts. And it has a cab, bed cover on it, basically. And inside it has place for storage. It's got a place to sleep with, and 3-inch foam, so it's really comfortable. I've slept on it camping and hunting and whatnot. It's quite warm. I have tons of blankets in there. I have survival radio in there. I've got a water purification in there, which is it's an MSR water purifier. Food. Got some water, 5 gallons. And sometimes I keep 10 gallons in it.
Yeah.
I have a compressor that I've used. It's a battery-powered compressor that works quite well if my tires go flat, any of that stuff. So basically, even though I may not have a bug-out bag in my house per se, it's all stored in the back of my truck.
You got it in the bug-out vehicle, so all you got to do is grab your keys and go.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So I try to keep it at least a half a tank normally, so if I need to, and I live right across the street from a mountain, so if I need to, and can't get out on the roads, I can start hightailing it, get it ready, get
straight
it
up
ready.
Straight up the mountain.
Straight up the mountain.
How's that MSR water filter? Is that a pump or is that a gravity fed? What type of filter is that?
It's the I can't remember the name. The MiniWorks DX.
Okay.
MSR MiniWorks DX, and it is it's a pump one. It's I guess one of the faster pumping ones. I think most of them are 1 liter per minute. I think it's 2 liters.
Oh, that's good.
I forget on that, but. Yeah, it works really well. I've used it on lake water, some gross water.
Yeah. And
never had problems. A little worried the first time I used it, but it's worked well.
Yeah, so. I think mine's a Katadyn, but it works on the same system of you put the little straw in your contaminated water and you've got another little line out that goes into your you're going to catch your water and you just pump it.
Yeah, they seem to work real well.
And it doesn't take up a lot of room. It takes up a lot less room than another 1,000 gallons of water or whatever it purifies.
Right. And I think knowing where water is around your house is huge. I know you live in Florida, so that might not be as big a problem. But I live in Arizona, and so it's kind of dry here. So
that's true.
We do have a lot of water coming off the mountain. We have a lot of snow, so which is kind of strange for Arizona, but we get 100 inches of snow or so. But knowing where the water is very, very important. And then knowing where water is in your home. If you have a water heater, that's always normally got water in it.
All right.
On the house, we have a spa. It holds quite a bit of water. You can use that water.
Mm-hmm.
And something that's even kind of doubly good with that is you have water purification tablets, essentially, that are with that, which is, chlorine or bromine. And it can be used for water purification.
Yeah. Yeah, I also have two big 50-gallon rain barrels with a water catch system that comes off my roof, too, so...
Yeah,
I use that to water my garden as much as possible, and then I figure it's always there too. If it hits the fan, I can purify that stuff.
Definitely,
it's pure when it comes down, but after it sits in those buckets for a while, mosquitoes in Florida like to find a home in there pretty quick. So it would probably need purifying before I got to it.
Right. Just kind of a little off topic. I think starting the side up. I've been kind of lazy on getting my preps ready, but the site, it's actually pushed me to do things and to get things ready and to do different cool things. And I'm have some projects I'm getting ready to do. I'm hopefully doing a wood gasifier, trying to see if I can make a wood gasifier.
Yeah, very cool. I saw that on the Colony.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I saw that they did wrong on that is it really didn't have a filter. So your generator's really not going to last that long.
Yeah.
Is because you have to filter it out to get the tar and crap out of it.
Yeah, and I think it was the first episode of Doomsday Preppers. The guy's got a YouTube channel. It's Southern Prepper, and they're the ones that do the grading for all the other preppers, which is a little questionable because I think they're kind of hard on some people and too easy on other people. Everybody gets about this. Everybody gets 5 months, you know? The guy that's in Hawaii with no shoes and a stick gets 5 months, and then the guy that's got the underground bunker and 6 years worth of food and 8 years worth of water and an arsenal and a private militia gets 5 months. I don't know. But,
yeah.
But anyway, they were on the first episode and, the one guy's, ex-military and the other guy's an engineer and he had a really nice woodifier on the back of his truck and he was running his truck off of it. And then he would also run the generator. He could pull the truck up next to the generator and run the generator off of it. And so it was kind of a multi
a
power source for several different things around the farm.
Yeah. Right. And, one of the other things I'm looking at and saying that the site kind of pushed me to do things, I've got kind of a different mindset when I'm prepping. or thinking about prepping. my wife and I just got married 2 months ago. And
congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate it. We were getting stuff for the wedding, and she wanted to use mason jars in it. So now we have a couple hundred mason jars to use for our preps to start canning.
Very good.
Another thing is it was out at a lake. We got a generator. So even at that point, I was thinking about prepping. But then another thing is, just the other day, we were making, I think it was a cake or something, my wife and I, and we put a bunch of, a bunch of sugar in it. And I was just kind of thinking, if there's a Teotihuacan situation, how am I going to get sugar? Well, it might not be the most important thing ever, but it's kind of a different mindset. How would I do these things?
And
so we're actually we're planting some sugar beets. It was used during the Civil War, I guess. Abolitionists didn't want to support the slavery, so they would grow sugar beets, and you can take sugar out of it.
Yeah, you get a lot of sugar out of beets.
So we're going to do that and hopefully try to get some sugar out of it and see how it goes. But it's just things like that. My wife actually told her coworkers that we were planting the sugar beets just to try and see if we could get some sugar out of it. And they said, oh, you won't even care about sugar during Teotihuacan, whatever. And really, it's not just that. For one, it's being able to do stuff on your own.
Mm-hmm.
And for two, it's that can be used as bartering, which is a great thing when nobody has. Your sugar is going to run out. If you have a 5 gallon thing of sugar, it's going to run out sometime.
Sure.
Or whatever it is. It's going to run out. That's when you gotta use your, renewable type food.
Sure.
Learn how to more live off the land, I guess.
Yep. And, back to bullets, you said that you do some bow hunting?
Yeah, I'm an avid bow hunter. Last year, I didn't get a tag this year. In the state, you have to get a tag.
Mm-hmm.
So won't be going. I may do a deer tag. I didn't get an elk tag. Last year I went. It's really interesting to be able to, and very, it's like, wow, when you see these animals, these huge animals that I've gotten up to 5 to 10 yards from them. It's amazing.
Wow.
How big they are. They're kind of scary. But being able to do that, if you do get in a Teotihuacan situation, you have a gun, you can get a lot better look at them, just if you know how to creep up on them. So
sure.
You don't have to use as many bullets, and you can also use a crossbow, whatever else, and save and reuse,
mm-hmm.
which is the best thing about bows. And it's just much more exhilarating getting that close to them and having to creep up on them. And not being able to shoot them from 200 yards away. It's fun.
Absolutely. And what about this giveaway you've got on beatthen.com? You're giving away some cool stuff.
Yeah. We're doing a giveaway at beatthen.com, and it's /survival-gear-giveaway. And we're giving some small survival kits, some 72-hour kits, first aid kit, I believe, and survival seeds to hopefully plant your own garden, heirloom seeds. And then we have another cool thing that one of our sponsors gave. It's a mini sentry alarm. Basically uses a 22 shell, a 22 ram set charge. Anything you hook it to, if it's pulled, it pulls the pin and shoots the charge.
Very cool. Very cool.
We have a couple different cool things. We're looking to give away, and hopefully it helps everybody out.
Very cool. And you said that your wife is going to be doing some canning, so I guess she's a prepper-friendly spouse?
We're actually – it's interesting. She actually never thought she would be with a hunter-fisherman type person.
Yeah.
But we do a lot of that. She really likes the – she's not a green person as much, but she does like canning, gardening, and different stuff that's healthy. and I think it's a great way to go.
Now that's a blessing.
Yeah, it's great. She actually never grew up with guns, so she's actually a little scared of guns, and we're actually doing a class this week, this weekend, basic handgun, CCW class, so she can get more comfortable with them, and it's just nice to have someone there that supports you and, doesn't think you're crazy.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. No, my wife's a huge help. She's the couponer of the house, and so,
yeah.
Just kind of de facto, she has built us up close to probably a 8-month dry food supply. So just wow. From couponing without going over our regular $50 a week grocery budget. So it's been a huge blessing to have some help. I hear a lot of stories from preppers that don't have really prepper friendly spouses and. I feel sorry for them, and it reminds me how blessed I am to have somebody that supports me. So that's a huge blessing.
Yeah, it's definitely nice. My parents are into it as well, so it's nice to have some support there. It's kind of funny how these people you don't know, don't think would be preppers, are turning up. My aunt, last person I would think would have been started to become a prepper, she just bought a. Survival generator, a solar generator, and starting to buy up food and some other things. So it's interesting how it's really caught on, and it's really good for society because
there's
problems. If you look at the LDS Church, I'm actually Christian, mm-hmm. but the LDS for many years has taught to have a year supply. They have some really good info, and they have, I believe, granaries that non-LDS, non-Mormons can buy stuff from as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just amazing how it's really caught on. And like I said, it's really good for society because when we do have stuff like this, we won't have as much rioting, looting, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, everybody that you can talk into getting prepared is one less person that you have to feed or fend off.
Definitely.
Yeah. Josh, thanks so much for coming on the show today, and everybody, you can check out Josh's site at beattheend.com, and you can sign up for the giveaway over there and hopefully win some great stuff. Josh, thanks again.
Thanks for having me on, Mark.
All right. Thanks for listening to another edition of the Prepper Recon Podcast. If you're new to prepping and you want to learn more, you can check out our 7-step survival plan. It's under the category section on the left-hand side of the page. Until next time, happy prepping.